This morning, I invite you to first of all open your Bibles up to 1 Peter chapter 5 for an opening verse. 1 Peter chapter 5. I will say this, I do have some extra copies of my sermon notes that are printed. My wife has them right back there. If there's anyone here that would find it easier to follow if they have a written copy, Carlita has some notes right there. First Peter chapter 5 and verse 7 introduces the subject this morning. It says, "Casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you." The message title this morning is, God can take care of you. God can take care of you. This is a message, a call to remembrance of what God has done in the past. And hopefully that we can fix in our minds what God can do. Turn with me also back to Psalm 55 for two more verses in introduction. Psalm 55, verses 22 and 23. Psalm 55, verses 22 and 23 say this, "Cast thy burden upon the Lord, and he shall sustain thee. He shall never suffer the righteous to be moved. But thou, O God, shall bring them down into the pit of destruction. Bloody and deceitful men shall not live out half their days, but I will trust in thee." I just want to remind us this morning that in 1 Peter it says God cares for you. God has an affection for you. God is watching out for you. And we have a responsibility in God caring for us. We have a responsibility to cast our burden on God. We have a responsibility to leave our burden with God. And he shall never forsake us, but he will sustain us. And the purpose of this morning's message is just to remind us. I think sometimes we become overwhelmed in life. I don't know if you know what it feels like to be overwhelmed, to be burdened with a load of care. And if you can think of the one thing in life, what would you change if you could right now? Or the two things. Is it your health? Or is it your employment? Or is it... what are the thing in life that you just really wish you could change? But the reality is, you can't. You can't do a whole lot about it. And I just want to overwhelm us with the goodness of God, the reality of God's goodness, to push our hearts of faith to be enduring, to wait for, to hope for, to confidently expect and rely on God's goodness, and to remind us to cast our burdens upon him. Psalm 27, verse 13 and 14, say this, "I had fainted unless I had believed to see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Wait on the Lord, be of good courage, and he shall strengthen thine heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord." We have a choice to see God's goodness, or we have a choice to faint, to perish. We have a choice if we're going to wait on God, or we have a choice we're going to charge ahead on this own. God can take care of us, and much of this morning's message, I'll just say this, will be relying on your knowledge of Bible stories, and I'm just referring to a lot of Bible accounts. We're not going to do a lot of turning to Scripture, because I have a lot. I think I have almost twice the amount of sermon notes that I sometimes do, so I'm not. Hopefully that means I can move faster through them. If there's something you're not understanding, don't hesitate to get my attention, or we can speak afterwards as well. God can take care of you. I just broke this down into a few simple points. Hopefully we can understand. First, I want to consider some areas that God can take care of you. How can God take care of us? And I just have a few simple areas. God can take care of us physically, he can take care of us spiritually, and he can take care of us emotionally. Physically, we think of things like food and clothing, food and raiment. God provided clothes for Adam and Eve after they sinned. God provided, think of the story of the children of Israel. He provided manna every day for 40 years. He provided quail for millions of people, meat for millions of people. He provided food for the multitudes that flocked after Jesus. He provided water from the rock, water for them to drink in the Old Testament. He commanded us to pray, "Give us this day our daily bread." Now think with me of the story of Elijah in 1 Kings 17. You know the story of Elijah when he told Ahab it wasn't going to rain for 3 years, and God sent him out by the brook Cherith to to protect him there. And it says God commanded the birds, the ravens, to bring him food every day. You remember the story? Think how you would have prayed in that situation. "Give us this day our daily bread." If you were Elijah sitting there by the brook waiting for the birds to bring you food, I think that prayer would have taken on new meaning. But God took care of Elijah. It says he, and you can follow the story on. We'll speak some more later of the ways that God took care of Elijah. But God can take care of us physically. 2 Corinthians 9, verse 10, talks about God ministering seed to the sower and bread ministering seed. So God gives us, if you're involved in farming, if you're involved in agriculture, God provides a seed and he provides what it needs to grow. Now you can say there's some work you need to do, yes, but without God in the equation, there would be no increase. Luke 12:24, "Consider the ravens, for they neither sow nor reap, which neither have storehouse nor barn, and God feeds them. How much more are ye better than the fowls and the birds?" And by implication, God can take care of you. God takes care of the birds. How much more are the people sitting here this morning? How much more will God take care of them in a physical way? We can think of the area of health. We can think of stories where God healed people. God healed Naaman of his leprosy by having him dip in the Jordan River. 2 Kings chapter 5. Jesus healed the 10 lepers. He brought the widow's son back to life. He raised Lazarus from the grave. In the Old Testament, King Hezekiah, God chose to extend his life for 15 more years when he was near death. God can provide for us financially. He did it one time for the disciples when they were accosted for not paying their taxes. And Jesus told them, "Go out and catch the fish. And when you catch the fifth fish, there's going to be a piece of money in your mouth and in the fish's mouth, and go pay the taxes." This is the areas God can take care of us. God can take care of us, number two, spiritually. And we all, if we have experienced the gift of salvation, know what I'm talking about. God had a marvelous plan of salvation. And God goes to great lengths to shower that salvation onto people. Think of the story of the Ethiopian eunuch who was traveling, and he sent Philip to explain the scriptures to him. The great length God went to save that. Think of the story of Paul and Silas in prison. Paul and Silas and the jailer. And the jailer was saved because of Paul and Silas being in prison. Paul and Silas being locked up. God providing for us spiritually. God provides direction to life's deepest questions. Questions to life's deepest questions. You know what? You know what I'm talking about? Why am I here? What am I doing? Who created me? What happens after death? How can I find meaning in life? I was reading a story yesterday, and you talk about people longing for answers in life's deepest questions. In Ukraine right now, there was a story. They were gathered for church, for a Sunday morning service. There was 10 church members there. There was 10 other Christian workers, and there was a total of 450 people in attendance. 430 of them did not believe in Jesus, but they were seeking for life's deepest questions. God can provide for that. God can provide for us in temptation. There is no temptation or trial that we face that is too great for God. There is no temptation taking you, 1 Corinthians 10, verse 13. But such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that. You are able, but will with the temptation make a way of escape. God can take care of your temptation. God says, and turn with me to 2 Peter chapter 1. I want to turn to this verse. Thinking about God taking care of us, God providing for us. 2 Peter chapter 1. Verses 3 and 4. Say this: according to his divine power hath given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness through the knowledge of him that hath called us to glory and virtue, whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these ye might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. God has given us all things that pertain to godliness. He can do it for you. He can help you to be godly. He's given us these great promises. He's allowed us to be partakers of his nature. Third way God can provide for you. Letter C here on my notes, emotionally. Do you know what it's like to be stressed? To have hurt feelings, to be feel weak or weary, or maybe you're angry or fearful, or just not sure what's going to happen. Jesus invites us to come for him, to come to him for rest. Matthew 11, 28 to 30. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and you shall find rest for your souls, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. God providing for us in an emotional way. God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Hebrews 13, verse 6. We may boldly say, the Lord is my helper, and I will not fear what man shall do unto me. Point number two, this morning's message. We thought, first of all, areas God can take care of us. I want to think of people God can take care of. We had some prayer requests here this morning. Some of them were for loved ones. Some of those were for people that we care about. God can take care, and God is in the business of taking care of us. God can take care of your family. He sent an adopted mother for Moses. Back there in Exodus, when Moses was in that basket down in the river and they weren't sure if he was going to be killed, God sent the Pharaoh's daughter to be Moses' mother. He sent a lamb for Abraham's son Isaac. They were up there on the mountain, and Abraham had the knife up to slay Isaac, and God said, look there in the bushes, there's the lamb to take care so you do not have to kill your son. God promises us that our children's angels are constantly beholding God's face. God can take care of your children. Matthew 18, verse 10 says, the angels are beholding the face of the Father, your children's angels. God can take care of your friends. He took care of Jonathan and David. He sent an understanding prince to take care of Daniel and his three friends. In Daniel chapter 1, they were there before the king, and they pled with the king that they didn't have, or the prince that they didn't have to eat the king's meat. And the prince understood and allowed and took care of Daniel and his three friends. God can take care of your neighbors, the ones you are praying for. He took care of the Good Samaritan. No, I'm sorry, he took care of the traveler through the Good Samaritan. God can take care of your enemy, the one you struggle to love. God can do justice. God can work in their hearts. He took care of the person who was holding Paul and Silas in jail. Can you imagine leading the person who was holding you in jail, leading him to God? Can you imagine being Naaman's little servant girl, a captain, captive in a faraway land? Well, do you have the courage to say, I know where you can find help, to the person who was your captor, who was holding you against your will? God can take care of your coworkers, your employees. He can take care of your church. He delivered Peter from prison when the church was praying for him. In Acts chapter 9, we have a saint called Tabitha, and it says she was full of good works. And she died, and the church was sad. And so they called Peter, and Peter came, and with the power of God, he raised her back to life. God can take care of you. He's taking care of me, and I know he will continue to take care of us. Point number three, I want to think now specifically about some ways God can take care of you. And this is a little different from the first point we were thinking about in the first point, physically, spiritually, emotionally. But I'm thinking about the means, the methods God can use. What is at God's disposal? Like, did you ever just stop and consider what God has? And you can think, you can sit here and think for a long time. You know, if I stop and think what I have at my disposal, it's a little bit of money in a bank account and a vehicle and an apartment. And that's what the things I call my own. But if you stop and think what God can call his, it's the universe and all that is within it and the power to do what he pleases. God can take care of you through his word. His promises bring comfort and rest. Can you imagine being Noah and his family stepping out of the ark and seeing the rainbow in the clouds? And God said, I put that there so that you can know I'm never going to do what I just did. Can you imagine the rest that would have brought Noah and his family? Listen to these verses of comfort and rest. He is able to make all grace come to you in abundance. 2 Corinthians 9, verse 8. Number 2, he shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. Get a glimpse of that one. He shall supply all your need. Number 3, the Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want, or I shall not lack. Number 4, they that seek the Lord shall not lack any good thing. Number 5, fear not, I am with thee. Be not dismayed, I am thy God. I will strengthen thee, I will help thee. I will uphold thee with the right hand of my righteousness. Number 6, and the Lord shall guide thee continually and satisfy thy soul and draw it and make fat thy bones. And thou shalt be like a watered garden and like a spring of water whose waters fail not. The Lord God can take care of you through his word. Another way he can take care of you through his word is through conviction. If there's something you need to change, God's word can speak into your life. It talks in Hebrews 4, verse 12. The word of God is powerful. It's alive. It's sharp. And sometimes you're reading it and it speaks to you and you know there's something you have to change. His word can calm the storm in your life. Number 3, just as Jesus' word said, peace, be still. When he came awake in the boat, when the disciples woke him up in the midst of the storm, he can do that to you. Number 4, his word brings direction and clarity. Thy word is a lamp to my feet. It brings light. It brings a sense of this is what I should do. Number 5, his word brings protection from sin and temptation. Psalm 119:11, thy word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against thee. God can take care of you, number 2, through his miraculous presence. Jesus did it by walking on the water to the disciples in the middle of a storm. miraculously. In the Old Testament, in the fiery furnace, and someone already mentioned that in the sermon, in the service here this morning, the three Hebrew boys would not bow down to the idol, and the king was furious, and he said, throw them in the furnace. And they watched them there in the fire, and all of a sudden the king said, behold, there's a fourth one in the fire, and it's the Son of God. God can take care of us through his miraculous presence. Jesus did it to take care of Thomas's doubt. Do you ever have doubt in your life this morning? Do you ever doubt something? Do you ever doubt God's goodness? Do you ever doubt that God is real? The disciple Thomas dealt with that, and he said, I'm not going to believe unless I see the nail prints in his hand. And one night the disciples were together, and it says Jesus just came through the wall, and there he was in the middle of the room. The doors were locked. How did he get there? He appeared to dispel Thomas's doubt. Ways God has at his disposal to take care of you. He has the angels. He sent the angel to shut the lion's mouth for Daniel. The king came there in the morning to the lion's den, and he yelled down in there, and he said, Daniel, did God deliver you? And Daniel said back, yes, God sent an angel. He sent an angel to wake Peter up. Peter was there in prison, and Peter was sleeping, and all of a sudden, someone was shaking him. And it was an angel, and Peter walked with that angel right out of prison. The doors opened up. Are you facing an army like the children of Israel were, and one night God sent an angel to kill 185,000 people, and 185,000 Assyrians? Now, I don't know if any of us ever faced 185,000 people, but sometimes in life you feel like you're up against something and you don't know what to do. God has at his power ministering spirits that can go forth. He sent an angel to interrupt Balaam in his disobedience. In addition to Balaam's donkey that spoke, there was an angel that was standing in a path blocking his road. God may use his people to take care of you. His people being those that are obedient to what God is telling them to do. Think of the people that obeyed. And we already referred to someone. We have in the Old Testament, we had Naaman's servant girl. And she knew where the answer was. And she knew, she said to Naaman, she said, if you'd go back there to the prophet in Israel, he would be able to heal you of your leprosy. He used the church to pray for Peter. He used Philip to be obedient to God and to go to meet the Ethiopian so that the Ethiopian could be saved. He used Peter to go to the Gentiles to obey the vision and to save Cornelius' family. And he's still doing it today. I was sitting, this is a story, a more recent story. I was sitting in a seminar at Penn Valley, and I was listening to an older couple talk about how God has taken care of them in life. And they were going through a hard time in life. They had a small business, and the business was not doing well. It was nearly failing. And the missus of the family had a dentist bill that she didn't know what to do with. She needed a lot of dental work done, like a lot of dental work. And you know, we were talking about the dentist with some of you last night, and you know how much you enjoy going to the dentist, and then you know how much you enjoy when you have to pay the bill. And so she had went to the dentist, and the dentist had told her what all needed to be done, and it was thousands of dollars. And she said, I cannot give this bill to my husband because he's discouraged with the business. I'm just going to hold on to it for a while. We're not going to talk about it. And so she had it in her possession. She had the bill of what needed done in her possession for weeks, a long time. And one morning she woke up and she said, today's the day I'm going to give that bill to my husband. I don't know why, but she just felt that today was the day she needed to give it. At breakfast time, she gave it. The husband went out to his shop. He was going to work. Mid-morning, a brother from church walks in. Talk about God caring for his people. His brother walks in with an envelope of money. And he said, "Here, this is for you." He said, "I don't know why I'm supposed to bring it." He said, God just woke me up this morning. Sorry, God woke me up and told me to bring you this money today. And he said, "The strange thing is, if I ever give people money, I like to give a Bible verse along with it." And he said, "I have the strangest Bible verse. I don't know what the deal is, but the Bible verse," he wrote on the outside of the envelope, he said, "you can look it up after I'm gone." He wrote the reference down. The reference was Psalm 81, verse 10. And the words say, "Open wide thy mouth and I will fill it." True story. I was listening to the people it happened to. The money in the envelope was exactly the money of what her quote was from the dentist to get her dental work done. Is God still doing miracles today to take care of us through his people, through people that care about us? I'll leave you be the judge. Sometimes we're tempted to call these miracles coincidence. But think about what God did for Gideon when Gideon was not sure how to proceed. He sent signs of confirmation for Gideon in Judges 6. One night the fleece was wet and the next night it was dry. How did that happen? How did it happen that the widow's pot of oil didn't run out and they could keep selling oil to pay her debt? How did that happen? How did it happen another time to Elijah that the oil and meal didn't run out to sustain the widow? And Elijah and the widow lived until the end of those. That was right after the story. Remember I said about the ravens bringing Elijah food down by the brook? Right after that story, God sent Elijah to the widow's house, and the widow said, "I can't take care of you. I don't have enough for myself." And Elijah said, "Don't worry about it. It's not going to run out." What about the time that Jesus fed 5,000 with 5 loaves and 2 fishes, and there was 12 baskets left over? What about the time the sun stood still for the battle in Joshua's time? And the sun didn't go down for the space of a day. It said, I don't know how that happened. Or the time that Moses had his arms in the air, and as long as Moses' arms were in the air, the Israelites were winning the battle. And so Aaron and Hur came along and held up his arms. That's in Exodus chapter 17. What significance did Moses' arms have in the air? But it was a miracle. Lastly, just a few more ways that God can use, letter F here in my notes. Sometimes God uses what we call acts of nature or natural disaster to take care of us. And you have to think this one through, because sometimes natural disaster seems like it's harming people. And it is. But what about the time that God sent an earthquake to release Paul and Silas from prison? And we say an earthquake is just a natural disaster, but God can use even the natural disasters or nature to take care of his people. God sent a rooster to crow to remind Peter of his sin and to convict him. I already mentioned the ravens that God used to feed Elijah. What about the wind that God used to make a way for the children of Israel through the Red Sea? It says a strong wind came up and blew all night and parted the waters of the Red Sea. What about the fish that God used to swallow Jonah? And later on in Jonah's story, it was a vine that God grew up overnight to give him shade. And on and on and on. Turn with me to Hebrews chapter 11. We need to read some verses here. As I was studying for this message, I had to think of these verses, because as I was remembering the times that God took care of people, I had to think of what the Hebrew writer says in verse 11, chapter 11, verse 32. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 32. And what more shall I say? For the time would fail to tell me of Gideon and of Barak and of Samson, of Jephthah, of David, of Samuel, of the prophets, and on and on and on. And I can add your name and my name and everyone's name sitting here. But these men of faith, they subdued kingdoms, verse 33. They wrought righteousness. They obtained promises. They stopped the mouths of lions. They quenched the violence of fire, escaped the edge of the sword. Out of weakness were made strong, waxed valiant in fight, turned to fight the armies of the aliens. Women received their dead raised to life again. Others were tortured, not accepting deliverance, that they might obtain a better resurrection. And I'll just stop reading there. May I ask you a question? Is God's arm shorter today than it was back then? Are his ears hard of hearing? Are they full of wax? Or can he hear you when you pray? May I repeat what the king said to Daniel? In Daniel 3:29, what the king said in Daniel's time when he saw the fourth man in the fire, and after they came out, there was not a smell of fire on them, and their hair was not singed, and their clothes were not at all burnt. And he said, there is no other God who can save after this sort, who can deliver. In addition, God can protect and provide for you and your family in the work and for the purpose he has called you to do. God can do all this and infinitely more, exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or even think, according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. He never runs out of options or encounters something he wasn't planning for or expecting. He can do all this, and we can absolutely trust him, because there are things that God does not and cannot do. He cannot change. He cannot lie. He cannot make a mistake. James 1:17, every good gift and every perfect gift is from above and comes down from the Father of lights, with him whom is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. Note that God can't even change position, and he doesn't even cast a shadow. We talked about the centrality this morning of the throne. And God, Jesus, never casts a shadow. You can ponder that one for a while. Will he take care of you? Will you allow him to? Or will you keep fighting him and walking away from him in disobedience what he is asking you? Wherefore do you spend money for that which is not bread? Isaiah 55 verses 2 and 3. And labor for that which satisfies not. Hearken diligently unto me, and eat that which is good, and let your soul delight itself in fatness. Incline your ear and come unto me. Hear, and your soul shall live, and I will make an everlasting covenant with you, even the sure mercies of David. My dear brothers and sisters, I just want to think in the last point of the message, point number 5, what is our responsibility and response to God? I know I'm speaking to a group of people that know that God can take care of us. We trust him, but what is our responsibility? And I just have maybe 6 or 7 things that I thought of here that I want to move over. Turn with me to 1 Timothy chapter 6. First Timothy chapter 6, verses 6 to 8. 1 Timothy 6:6, but godliness with contentment is great gain, For we brought nothing into this world, and it is certain we can carry nothing out. And having food and raiment, let us be therewith content. Number one, our responsibility is contentment. Content with the simple things of life. Content with what God is providing for us. Contentment, it says, with godliness is great gain. Hebrews 13, turn with me there. Hebrews 13, verses 5 and 6. This has been a great help to my contentment, just pondering this truth. Hebrews 13, verse 5. Let your conversation or your way of life be without covetousness, and be content with such things as you have, for he hath said, I will never leave you or forsake you, so that we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper, and I will not fear what man shall do unto me. Jesus has said, I will be with you. Is that enough for you? Is it enough to know that God can take care of you? Is his presence in your life enough for you? Are you content with that? I will not fear. And that leads us right into point number two. Our response is faith and trust. If you're there in Hebrews chapter 13, turn back to Hebrews chapter 11, thinking about faith in God. 11 verse 6. Without faith, it is impossible to please God. For he that comes to God must believe that he is. Now, if you're a school teacher, how do you diagram that sentence? God is, and it begs a question, what is God? God is what? Let me tell you something. If you're struggling this week to know that God cares for you, if you're struggling in your life to believe this truth, remember this, God is here. Wherever you go this week, if you're going to the doctor, if you're going to your place of business, to your stressful employment, to whatever that thing is at the beginning of the message that I ask you if you would change, when you go there, when you encounter that this week, remember this, God is here with me. God is with whatever I'm facing right now. He can take care of me, and he is, if I have faith in him. O ye of little faith, why do you therefore doubt? Those were Jesus' words to Peter. When Peter got out of the boat and he started to sink, and Jesus said, why are you doubting? I have to ask myself that same question sometimes. Why am I doubting that God will take care of me? Proverbs 3, verses 5 and 6. Trust in the Lord with all thy heart, and lean not unto thine own understanding, and all thy ways acknowledge him. He shall direct thy path. As we go through life and we encounter the things that we wish we could change and we can't, remember God is here. God is here with me, and I just need to acknowledge God in my situation. I need to acknowledge that God is here, that God loves me. God is, and he is the rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Are you diligently seeking God in faith and trust? Our response number three, thankfulness. I don't need to spend long on this one, but there's verses that remind us to give thanks in every situation. In every situation, give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. Colossians 3:15, let the peace of God rule in your hearts, and be ye thankful. What's that thing that you wished you could change? Have you tried being thankful for it or in it? Acknowledge God. I don't know what you're up to. I don't know why this is in my life, but I'm going to choose to let God's peace in my heart in that difficulty. We can be thankful, and we should not be like the nine lepers who didn't come back to thank Jesus after they were healed. It says, Jesus said, I healed 10. Where are the nine? and I hope they're not here this morning. Be ye thankful. Our responsibility and response. Letter D, ask, seek, and knock. You know, we have a responsibility to keep asking God and to keep seeking God. And there's verses in Matthew 7 and 7 to 11 that give that concept. Ask and it shall be given unto you. Seek and ye shall find. Knock and it shall be opened unto you. And how do we ask? We need to ask according to God's will. James 4 verses 2 and 3 tell us this. You have not because you ask not. Or you ask and receive not because you ask amiss. Or you ask incorrectly, that you may consume it on your lust, is what the verse says in English. Or I think we even talked about this in Sunday school. When it talks about coming to God's throne, sometimes we ask selfishly. And I can't guarantee you that God's going to answer your selfish prayers, according to this verse. But I can guarantee you what it says in 1 John 5 and verse 14 and 15. This is the confidence that we have in him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. And if we know that he hears us, whatever we ask, we know that we shall have the petition of what we ask, what we desired of him. That's 1 John 5:15. John 8:29 is the testimony of Jesus. And it says, Jesus testified of himself, I do always the things that please the Father. Let me tell you something. If that's your testimony this morning, if you can truly say that all you ever do pleases God, then I can truly say that he's going to listen to every one of your prayers. God will grant us everything we need to fulfill the desire to serve him and to follow him. Three more points here yet. Obedience, our response. And I'm just going to cut some of this short here, but how many of these miracles, how many of these acts we talked about this morning would have taken place without someone obeying God's direction? Would have the Ethiopian been saved? Would have Paul and Silas saved the Philippian jailer? Would have Naaman been healed? What of the story I told of the brother that woke up and felt God calling him to take cash over to his neighbor? What if that had happened if someone would not have been obedient to God? Would have Noah and his family been safe if they would have decided to jump out of the ark? Or not get in the first place, or not even build it? What do you want God to do for you this morning? But let me ask you this. What does God want you to do? What is God asking you to do? Your turn comes first. God loved you first while you were living in your sins. But he expects in return obedience and a relationship. Point number six. Letter F. Wait on the Lord. This is the third verse I read at the beginning from Psalm 27. Sometimes we're waiting for God to take care for us. And there's that one thing that you're thinking of that you wish God would change in your life. Sometimes he says, wait. Just rest in him. Just be of good courage. Just strengthen your heart. Psalm 37, trust in him. Delight in him. Commit your way to him. Rest in him, wait for him. An answer may be coming. I don't know how many angels God has out there working on your behalf right now, bringing the answer. I don't know what's going on in the realms that we don't know anything about, the spiritual realms. Just wait. And finally, worship. While you're waiting, worship. The last point. Make an effort to read his word. Hide his promises in your heart. Let tears come to your eyes as you recount his goodness and what he has done and is doing for you. Sing the songs of the redeemed, the songs of Zion, the songs of God, and take time to be still and know that God is God. Sometimes we get so caught up when we try to... We have these things that we wish God would change, and we busy ourselves with doing other good things, but sometimes it's okay just to be still and worship and to know that God's got this, and I can just rest in Him, I can wait on Him, and I can worship Him. Excuse me. My voice is threatening to give out here. The world tries to offer a lot of solutions, and occasionally you hear of the ones that are supposed to cure everything. You know, there's a new miracle cure out there that's supposed to take care of whatever ails you. But I'm here to tell you this morning, don't believe it. This world is full of false solutions. But Jesus has the real one. God is the real solution to your problems in life. There is only one cure-all. And we had a glimpse of that in Revelation. There is one name in heaven that it says every knee should bow. You have a choice today. You can choose to bow down to Jesus or not. There is coming a day that it says that every knee will bow. No choice. You will appear before God someday. And it's up to you how you're going to respond to His care for you and His love for you. Trust Him. Wait on Him. Worship Him. Let's kneel for prayer.